Progress.net. Welcome. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, along with Mr. Eddie Baker, our tech expert.
And Eddie Baker.
What is good Lord, there's a combination. Ed Rudell and Gary Baker. I got Eddie Baker out of that. That's very good. Oh, my Lord.
That's okay, Foster.
What a combination that would be.
I was just thinking of morphing our faces together with a GIF generator. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
that's just
my
awful.
Lord. Ed Rudell in studio, of course. He's our tech expert, and Ed will be handling some of the questions coming up in the second hour of our program. As you probably have realized, this is a special recording we do for our networks, and we're delighted that you folks out in Lansing and Battle Creek and Grand Rapids area, for instance, can hear us. And by the way, I want you to know that we love to hear from you when you have questions about your computers and getting on the internet and around it. All week long, we're answering questions for people who send us emails. And you do that simply by going to internetadvisor.net, our homepage where the show notes are, and clicking on the Contact Us button. And when you do that, you can then put your question in. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about some of those questions in just a little bit in our second hour. And that's where Ed shines. But Eddie, I saw some things coming out of the auto show, which is going on in Detroit area right now. It's the really big show here. In some ways, this is kind of a follow-up in terms of technology to the Consumer Electronics Show, which already happened. Something I know you're interested in is 3D printing.
Yes. Why? Is there something represented at the auto show?
It certainly is. It's absolutely fascinating. Paul Eisenstein with the Detroit Bureau, who's been our guest here. Lead article in the Detroit Bureau this week was on local motors planning two 3D microplants. Here's how it goes. Local Motors is the name of the company. They are literally 3D printing one of their cars at the show.
Interesting.
Isn't that fascinating? Now, it's an electric car. It's called the Strati. And it's a battery-powered car, obviously. They have micro plants in Phoenix and Las Vegas where they build these things right now, but they're actually going to be downloading and printing and putting together parts of this car right at the auto show.
You know, that is the future of 3D printing right now. We were talking quite a bit last week and the week before about CES, how 3D printing was making such a, you know, this is the year of 3D printing. What people don't realize, and I think Gary said it, there are over, what was the number? He said 5,000 different types of plastics that you can use for manufacturing parts. Quite a number of them. But when you're using a 3D printer that with technology that we have right now, you're using the spooled, one type of plastic. Right. You're going to need to have a huge number of plastics. So for hobbyists like ourselves, we're going to be limited in what we can print 3D. And like I always use the example, like if on my vacuum cleaner, if a part breaks, you know, that little plastic part that holds the electric cord when you wrap it around. And I cannot find that on the internet. I just want to make something that fits in that hole that I could swing up. And, you know, I could use 3D printing capability to do that. And, but will the plastic be rugged enough? So at some point in the future, manufacturers will not have to store all these fiberglass panels or carbon panels. They could manufacture them to your specs.
Well, that's interesting.
On the fly.
Because Local Motors is doing that exactly on the floor of the show. They're actually producing the full vehicle body. Now, it assembles, after printing out the body, the chassis, and much of the interior. It assembles the remaining components, including the suspension, wheels, and tires, and the powertrain. In other words, it's got those separately, but it brings them all together, and it can do this. But the body is printed. That's the
incredible
part about it. And the vehicle consists of just 50 components, rather than thousands that are used in the, you know, regular construction of a car. So they're also simplifying the construction. Now, obviously, these are just baby steps.
Yes.
Baby steps. But still, it's mind-blowing that we've gone from, you know, the little dolls that were printed or the little figurines, were the kind of things you'd find in a Cracker Jack box. We're now going to producing these entire cars. But if you get to the auto show, look it up. It's called Local Motors, and they've got a fascinating display going on there. One of the other things that I heard the other day, that came out of CES and now is kind of being played out at the auto show is, Ed, one of the things, I don't know if you've noticed, if you're getting in one of these fancy cars, it takes forever to try to figure out where all the buttons are. How do you set the volume for this? Where is the control for that?
We are all creatures of habit, and we're used to doing something in a certain way, and you have to re-explore, you know, how did this manufacturer interpret and present so I can have that same type of control?
Well,
you know, I like my windshield wiper on the right-hand side, not the left-hand side, you know, stuff like that.
And even when you're handling, like, these displays that are digital,
yeah,
you know, how do I raise or lower the volume, or how do I go to the next icon, et cetera? Well, what's happening now is Apple Play has come out. Apple Play is like a software base behind some of these systems. So that essentially, if you're an iPhone user and you step into these vehicles that have Apple Play, essentially, the display will look like your iPhone. And it'll be easier to get around because you know how to get around your iPhone. The same thing is going to be happening with Android. So that if you're an Android user, you have a, you know, a Nexus phone or whatever it may be, or one of the Samsung phones that runs Android, and there's a huge number of them out there, eventually you'll be able to do that again. You say, oh, I know what that is. I know how to get home. I know how to get to this and to get to that because it looks like my phone.
That's a great idea. Instead of an entirely new user interface.
Every time you get into one of these darn things.
Yep. I mean, it's like going from a PC that you've been using, or you've been using the PCs for the last 20 years, and you finally make the decision to go to Mac, and you are dumbfounded.
And that happened to me, by the way.
Yes.
I think it was about 8 years ago after I baptized an old Dell laptop that I was using with a cup of tea. I don't know if you remember that. Oh, Lord. And I said, okay, now's my time to make the move. And I went over to the dark side. We kidded about it at the time. And I went, I'm using a MacBook Pro right now and have enjoyed that, although still aspects of that.
But
I'm
very disorienting at the very
beginning. Oh, yeah. There was a bigger learning curve there than I ever thought there would be, even though it was pretty simple.
But it just works, right?
Well, most of the time.
Yes, most of the time.
Yeah. But the nice thing about this is that essentially now, the future holds for us that it will just work when we get into these cars. We won't have to struggle with that. So that's kind of a neat thing. Now, there's a question that came up from a group called Techonomy, and I'm wondering what your response to this would be. How has your worldview changed, and or how were you spurred to action because of things that have happened with the internet? How's your worldview changed, do you think, because of the things that are going on in the internet?
The things that are going on in the internet, or the information I gather from the
internet? Well, this whole thing has come into our lives.
Yeah, the internet has really broadened my horizon and seen that there's no such thing as a simple decision. And a lot of this you learn as you mature and get older, that you realize there are many different facets that make up a decision, which would then cause, you know, for adults, for us, that's wisdom. Children now have that ability, but they may not be able to use it as well.
Right.
But they're coming to understand that there's also multiple angles that they can approach a topic or a decision, and they're learning it at a much younger age because there's so much more information out there. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes it. That's perfect. That's fascinating. I would not have thought of that, but the kids now are being given the kind of tools that we as adults grew into. But with the internet, you're presented with so much more.
Time is compressed now for children.
Oh, man.
And for us, what would have taken 25 years to develop in wisdom, they're getting in 5 or 10 years because of the amount of information that's presented to them. Are they mature enough to handle it? You know, that's questionable.
I think my world view has changed to some extent because I'm in contact with more people and get to know more people's perspective on life than I ever would have before.
That's, another excellent point.
All right. How has your worldview changed because of the internet? Kind of an interesting question to answer. Well, speaking of questions to answers, that's what Ed's going to do. And I'm going to help him in this next hour. We're going to be taking the questions you presented us here on the Internet Advisor by sending your emails to us through the Contact Us button on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. We'll be back to handle those questions and get some answers for you as well with the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Please stay tuned for that.